Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Hanging around with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure. Chip Beller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Chip is a good friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He is the author of so many books on selling and customer care that they actually, I think they're starting a library, the Chip Bell Customer Service Sales Library, because they don't need any more books, just his books. He's written so many, including some with our late dear friend and Brain Trust member, Mr. Ron Zimke, which you've heard, many of you have heard on the show over the years, and we still miss Ron. Chip is the author, along now with John Patterson, of the outstanding book Customer Loyalty Guaranteed, and he's our good friend Chip. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always great to be on your show.
It's good to have you here. Chip, I was just telling the audience before you got here about, I love this concept of sustaining remarkable customer service.
Absolutely.
And I was just telling them that years ago, I got my first big corporate sponsor back years and years ago. And I remember how excited I was. Now, It was exciting, but it was also a relief because I needed that business back in those days especially. But I remember when they renewed, when they came back the next year and said, "Hey, Jim, we want some more of this." When that happened, I remember feeling even better about that. And all of a sudden, it occurred to me that, you know, something I guess I've known all my life, that anybody can get somebody to buy something from you. But it takes a special organization to get people to come back.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Jim. And it also is much less expensive to keep the ones you've got. The research shows it costs 8 to 10 times what it costs to keep a customer to get one.
So it's a best practice on many levels, isn't it?
Absolutely. So smart money is, at least you want to go after new ones, but a smart money says, let me make sure I keep the ones I have.
You know, how many times have you seen over the years? Well, you and I go back in the marketplace a long way, Chip, and I remember when people didn't really focus on existing customers. They spent all their time, all their money on getting brand new customers to come in. Of course, back then, people didn't have that many choices. Today,
you can't
do that today, can you?
No. Exactly. They're too expensive to get, and they're priceless.
Well, and the thing is, well, what's the difference this time, Chip? What is the difference now?
I think
in keeping people compared to years ago.
I think one of the main differences is they have a lot more options, as you say, than they've ever had. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, going to the grocery store to get a loaf of bread, you had two choices, Sunbeam or Wonder, and it was all white bread. I mean, today you go to the grocery store, they got a whole bread wing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one. And so the fact that customers are much more picky because they have the choices, and I think another reason is they're a lot smarter than they used to be. I mean, you think about today going to buy an automobile and how much you know compared to what you did 15 years ago. I mean, now you know more than the dealer. So
the salesperson was your educator in those days on automobiles. Now, many times the customer knows more than the salesperson does.
Absolutely. They've been on all the websites, and they've got references from lots and lots of people on the web, and so they go in armed. And I think that's made it very different. You've got a smarter
customer,
how do we, more choice.
How do we wow such a sophisticated person?
Well, I think, first of all, you never take them for granted. I mean, just like you did with that first sponsor, you don't take them for granted. You treat them just as important after you get them as you did courting them in the selling process. And I think it's also important to keep it, whatever the service or sales offering, new and fresh. You know, the average customer today has grown up with lots of TV and MTV or whatever, and so the splash, the charm, the sparkly is something that appeals to them. They're more interested in that many times than the basic features of a product or service they buy. So I think keeping it new and different and fresh.
Well, and the other thing that it seems to me, and I love talking about the difference between what people need and what they want. What people need are commodities.
Absolutely.
They need, you know, they need food, but they want to dine.
Right.
They
right.
need clothes to cover their nakedness, but they want a look. And I believe that that what you call remarkable customer service is knowing the difference between what people need and what they want. And what they want, that's how you create an experience for them, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, as Charles Revlon said years ago, we may sell cosmetics, but they buy hope, which I thought was a clever, clever line. But his point is that, you know, it is often paying attention to what is that customer value? What are they really buying this for? What need am I meeting for them? And that becomes more than just the functional aspect of the product or service we're offering.
You know, and I'm gonna throw another quote out there from a very famous guy. Ray Kroc once said, "We don't sell food." He's talking about McDonald's, folks.
Exactly.
"We don't sell food. We sell fuel."
Yep.
And you know what? Even though their menu has expanded since he said that, and they've gotten a lot fancier, you know, with all their stuff, one thing about McDonald's that's still the case, and they're better than any other burger type fast food franchise out there. You won't sit in their drive-through line very long.
No.
They move that line through, and the other guys can't say that. They still practice that. They know that you're not there to dine. You're there to get a bag of burgers or whatever and get the heck out of there.
Exactly. And he knew that the brand was dependent on consistency. We trust it when we can predict that it's going to be of a certain quality. It wasn't gourmet food, but we knew when we saw the Golden Arches what we could count on. And I think so many times organizations today forget that concept, that that consistency in offering and is what delivers the trust on the part of that customer.
Well, and today that consistency often converts to saving time, which is a big deal these days, isn't it?
It is, much more so than it's ever been. We all have very harried lives today. And we try to be, I think, more efficient because of that limited time. And so when I know that I can, certain things I can predict, I don't have to do a lot of searching. I can always know that if I go on Amazon.com, I know what I get. When I go into a Best Buy, I know what I'm going to get, and it saves me time.
And there's no reason why every small business can't develop that same reputation, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with our good buddy Chip Bell, the co-author of Customer Loyalty Guaranteed. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And good to be with you. Good to be with our good buddy Chip Bell, who's our guest this half hour. And he is the co-author of Customer Loyalty Guaranteed. Chip, how many books have you written on selling and customer service?
Well, Jim, I appreciate you asking that. This is my number 17th.
Wow.
That tells you how much time I spend on airplanes.
Whoa.
Because the best place to ride is on a plane. So
something under a billion copies sold galactically, ladies and gentlemen. And tell us where the book's available, please.
They're available on most of the major bookstores, but you can always get them on Amazon.com or one of my favorite websites is 800 CEO Read.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
They specialize in business books, and they are great customer service deliverers, so we always recommend 800 CEO Read as a great place to order books through. But they'll have any of the titles. And obviously you can get them through our website.
Go ahead, give us that again.
Which is chipbell.com.
All right, so check that out. Chip, we're talking about excellent, remarkable, wow customer care, taking care of your people, knocking their socks off, loving them up. That's what I call it.
Exactly.
And you know, one of the things that happens, though, Chip, from time to time, it happens to all of us. is we fail to reach the standard. We fail to we fail in our delivery. We let a customer down. Something happens, and you know what you do. You're not. I used to have a mentor who said you're not judged by your mistakes. He said you're judged by how you respond to your mistakes.
I think that's very wise advice.
He called it. How did he say that? He said a character moment. He called it a character test.
He said
when that happens, he said that's when there's a character test, and how you respond is how you be judged, because we all make mistakes, right?
Yep, absolutely. Every organization makes mistakes.
How do we recover?
And the customer. The good news is the customer doesn't expect you to be perfect, but they do expect you to care. And I think, Jim, what separates the winners from the also-rans is how they manage that care when things go wrong.
Yep. That's exactly right. And even though nobody wants anything bad to happen to not deliver customer service, the truth is whenever it does happen, and it inevitably will, you have an opportunity to actually strengthen that relationship, don't you?
Absolutely. In fact, the research shows that customers who have a problem and have them spectacularly solved end up more loyal than customers that have never even had a problem. I mean, you don't want to go out there and mess something up so you can fix it real good, but clearly it is an opportunity to turn that oops into an opportunity, and that's the key. And how do I think about it is critical. The smart organizations, I think, remember that it's all about not just fixing the customer's problem, but fixing the customer. And that's where a lot of organizations fall down. I mean, think about how many fast food restaurants you've gone in and they got the order wrong, and you went back, and maybe they corrected the order, but they never said anything, they never looked at you, and you probably walk away from those scenes feeling even more angry. Didn't get the correct order, but they
it
didn't
happens
seem
to
like
me
they
way too. It happens to me way too much.
Exactly, and so
I don't go back.
Oh no! And yet they corrected the order, but the way they treated you, they acted
defensive.
Absolutely. And
as if you're so picky.
Right. Right.
You know.
Without remembering.
And guess what? You know, maybe I am, but I'm the customer.
Exactly.
I get to be picky if I want to be.
Exactly. And I'll put you out of business by spending my money somewhere else.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Well, I worked for Sears back in my when I was a young pup a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
I had a store manager one time. I was a division manager when I was in working my way through college and a little bit after that. He said, Jim, he said, whenever a customer comes in there with a complaint or something you need to fix, he said, you find out what it takes to make them happy. Usually their first thing that they would like for you to do,
right?
He said, is the best one. He said, because that's usually not too expensive. He said, if that'll make them happy, you do that.
Exactly.
He said because once they get to me, I'm going to give them whatever they want.
Exactly. And that's a great point, Jim. And one of the things we have learned is we assume the customer when something goes around, is going to want a trip around the world. But what we find is most of the time customers are very fair. You know, trip around the beltway may be enough, or just
right.
an apology.
Right.
And so I think asking the customer what would make you happy, what could we do to make this up to you, and taking your lead from the customer's guidance is smart. I mean, you may not be able to do what they want, but at least you know their expectation for what should happen.
Well, and you know something else. I think small business owners should have a policy where every time any customer has a problem, that automatically becomes a report that is delivered to the owner or to the manager or something. And I think that somebody from management should call that customer.
Absolutely.
Make contact with them and say, I'm sorry that this happened. Did
right.
we take care of you? What can I do?
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, that's better than spending $1,000 on a newspaper ad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
it's not better. Now, wait a minute, Chip. I'm sorry. It's not better than a radio ad.
No.
I'm not going to say that.
No, of course not.
But it's better than a newspaper ad. Stand by, Chip. We're going to take a quick break. Let's not lose our head here, folks. Quick break right back after these messages. Chip Bell's going to stay with us. One more segment. Stay with us.
To go home. Then he makes it fast with one more thing.
Stand by.
All righty.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're still visiting with our good friend Chip Bell, one of the world's experts on customer care. His new book is called Customer Loyalty Guaranteed, which he co-authored with John R. Patterson. Chip, there are companies that I do business with, and to be honest with you, I don't even know what they charge for some of the stuff that I buy from them. You know why? Because I don't care. I don't care.
There you go.
They do such a great job. They provide me with something that nobody else can provide me with. And I'm thinking like of a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, right. I don't even care what the entree is.
Right.
I just know that it's going to be the best darn thing I've eaten in a month or a year, and I don't even care.
Sure.
And my point is, when I say I don't care, if it's gone up $3, if something's gone up $2 a piece, I don't care.
Exactly.
And that's an extreme example, you know, with a nice restaurant or something, but there are lots and lots of opportunities out there, aren't there, for us to get our customers where they almost don't care what we charge them.
Well, I think that is, and I think the more we can create a focus on the experience we create. You know, a good example I think of is Starbucks. You know, why would somebody pay $4 for a cup of coffee? I mean, that's extreme behavior.
And I agree.
You know, it's not just about the coffee, because if you put a vending machine in your break area and put Starbucks coffee in there, I bet people wouldn't put 16
right.
quarters to get a cup
right.
of coffee.
Right.
But they'll go down to Starbucks because of the whole ambience, the tone, the style, the feel.
And if you're going to walk down the street with a cup of coffee, it needs to have a Starbucks label on,
well, there
on the
you
cup,
go.
Right?
There you go. I mean, they've done a great job of building intense brand loyalty, and they did it. One, they had a good, great product. You can't falter that. But the second thing is they've got a great experience, and it's a consistent experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think smart organizations are starting to say, you know, wait a minute, more and more we live in a world of theatrics, and the more we can create an experience that is different, that is special, that's magical, that's enchanting, the more the customer will remember us. And I think that's an important lesson today.
Well, you have a word for that, don't you?
Magic.
You have a magic. You call it magic,
don't you? Yeah,
we call
it service magic. And service magic is all about how we do those things that are simple. Key thing there is simple, but unexpected on the part of the customer. When they leave me with a little – I mean, a good example, my wife has a new car, and she traded in her old car and got a new car. But a week after she had it, she discovered they had programmed in her radio stations from her trade-in. And you, guess what she talks about, the car
yeah.
or the radio? She
oh,
talks
yeah.
about the radio.
Yeah.
Lord, I think what she paid for that car. But
I know.
You know, that's the key is what.
And that didn't cost them a nickel, did it?
It didn't cost them a nickel. And then so the little things that the customer leaves them sort of awed or dazzled or wowed, I think those little things are what make the difference.
Well, exactly, and that takes training, doesn't it, to get your
exactly.
people to do those things. You can't. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen through osmosis, does it? It
no,
takes
it
training.
And I think part of it is having a workforce that's empowered to think that way and encouraged to be creative. You know, when Disney has the housekeeper move the toys around so the kids think they came alive. I mean, those are little things. You know, I know of, and we wrote about it in one of our books about a manicurist shop that not only you know, escorts you to your car after you've had a manicure, but opens your car door for you and starts your ignition. Well, you
right.
think about every
about
woman
that?
Who's had a manicure job, the last thing she's worried about is breaking a nail or damaging it or something.
I hate it when that happens, Chip.
Yeah, me too.
I hate it when that happens. you know when as we've grown our business, I have a person who spends more time now talking with my Brain Trust members mm-hmm. during the week than I do. I used to do all that, but I've got some other folks doing this for me now and helping me out a lot. And when I turned that job over, I told those folks, I said, now look, these people are our friends.
Right.
I care a great deal about them. They care a great deal about us. You take care of these people because they're now your friends.
Exactly.
And that's what they've done. I've gotten feedback now. I've gotten heard back. You know, so-and-so does a real good job or whatever. And but you've got to point that out to them. You got to let people know what's expected of them.
That they're important and they matter. I mean, and again, looking for ways to do that in a unique way. I mean, think about how many automobile dealerships want to send you a birthday card on your birthday. Well, what would make an organization stand out if they called you
right
on your birthday?
I've got a friend who calls husbands to remind. He's in the insurance business. He calls husbands to remind them of their wife's birthday or their anniversary. How about that?
There you go. That's a great idea.
Hey, thanks, Chip, for being here. Good job. Give us that website again, please.
It's chipbell.com.
The new book is called,
for me at least,
Customer Loyalty Guaranteed. Thanks, Chip. See you next time.
My pleasure, Jim. Enjoyed being with you.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend Eva Rosenberg. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.